Well, now that we are in radio contact, I shall proceed to give this charge to your newly installed pastor. And I do so by calling your attention to words found in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, of course, is a sermon in a song concerning the deceitfulness of riches. We must resist the temptation to say more, because that topic, though perennially relevant and of great weight, is not germane to what we do tonight. I call your attention rather to the prologue or introduction to the psalm in verses 1 through 4, in which the author reflects on his mission and his message as a minister of the Word of God. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. We must remember that David was not only a warrior king and a poet musician of world-class abilities, but also numbered among the prophets of Jehovah, sent to speak God's word to God's people in his own time and for all time to come. As such, he is to be numbered among the ministers of the word. His medium of discourse was poetry, not prose, but he nonetheless speaks in God's name and speaks God's word and stands in the front rank of the prophets of Christ. So what can we learn about the ministry of the word from this poet preacher? First, ministers of the word are sent to proclaim a gospel to all nations in all the world, to all sorts and conditions of men. Hear this, all ye people, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. There is no time in history, there is no place in the world, there can be no emerging circumstance in our experience which could ever oblige us to discard the gospel we have received of the Lord for anything else in its place. We shall never find ourselves in a situation we have not in all these centuries, and we shall not in all of time to come find ourselves in a situation in which the gospel of Jesus Christ leaves us with nothing to say. Just to be very plain in terms of the century in which I was born and reared, we do not need a new gospel for a new age. The novelty of the age is an illusion. The outward circumstances of life have changed. The inward problems of human life have not. Second, we learn that the character of the gospel entrusted to us entitles the ministers of the word to speak with authority. That is, to speak in the imperative mood. Some of you jumped, I saw that, when I said, hear this! Because it's a command. It's not an appeal. It's not a request. It's not a polite clearing of the throat. A little bit of an, I'd like to say something to you tonight. Hear this, all ye people. David commands attention for what he has to say. And he can do so because it is the word of the living God. The authority of the minister is not in the man. It's not a form of egotism. It is not in the office. We are not prelates here. It is in the word that he brings. And he ought to bring it in a manner befitting the majesty and glory and truth and exalted character of the message he delivers. The ministers of the word are entitled to speak with authority because they speak to us in the name of God. Thirdly, the content of our preaching must have real substance and depth. It must be a challenge for the preacher who has to deliver it. And, I hope I won't shock you too much, it should be a challenge to you in the pew to receive it. David says, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding." Now, in the actual statement in Hebrew, David uses plurals. He speaks of multiplied wisdom. He speaks of multiplied understanding. To denote variety and also abundance of both. There is much wisdom and many kinds of wisdom in the Word of God. And it requires understanding on every level in order to grasp its meaning and begin to apply it to our lives. So in preparing to preach, the minister must search for the hidden wisdom of God, nothing less, not chicken soup for the soul. And he must seek for the clearest possible understanding of what God has said in his word. What has God said, and what does he require? These are the vital questions to answer in the study. And then we have to begin to bring this home to our hearers. We must find the very best way to bring it to them. On every level, we must instruct, not divert. We must clarify and not mystify. We must edify and not entertain. How much easier it is to stick to three topics: the safe, the known, and the obvious. It requires little preparation. It does not tire us unduly in delivery, and no one will object if we are done in 20 minutes. Throw in a joke, add a story or two, quote a popular hymn, and few people will ever know that you have taken away the word of life and given them stones for bread. Finally, David tells us that we must hear the word of God before we can proclaim it. And he uses two, they're not just metonymies, they're double metonymies. They're a double figure of speech used twice over, taking a particular part and using it for the whole. In this case, he says, "I will incline my ear to a parable," using ear for the whole of his intellectual and spiritual capacity to respond to the Word of God. And on the other hand, of all the literary forms of Scripture, putting his hand on the most difficult and most challenging one of all, the parable. Now, of course, there's much else in the Word of God besides parables, but parables challenge the wisest and most intelligent interpreters. They require faith and knowledge and intelligence and perception and imagination if they are to be rightly interpreted. And David will bring all of that to the table as he listens to the word of God and prepares to proclaim it to God's people. And then he comes with his second metonymy. I will open my dark saying on the harp. My dark saying, being modest enough about his own attainments, he understands that many times the preacher has to come to the pulpit with a topic that is far removed from our experience, something that we know little about. It will require a lot of patient instruction, but the weightiness of the matter, the dignity of the subject, the importance, the vital importance of it demand that we take time to know what words like justification and propitiation mean. And a wise teacher, therefore, commits himself to doing that very thing, even if it at first, it may well be a dark saying when he begins. If he's doing his job well, it won't be when he's done. Be patient, stick with him, and you will learn. So David says, I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Well, now that sounds very strange. If we interpret this as some do, he would set his harp up here and take his dark saying like an egg and try to break it open on the harp. That's not at all what it means. A literal translation of David's words is virtually a translation that does not translate. David is a singer. David is a player. And that is his mode of discourse. And what he is telling us is that he will use his gifts, his creative gifts, in order to bring to you in a memorable and instructive way just what he has learned with his intellectual gifts as a student of the Word of God. In other words, the task of preaching requires, as we say today, both halves of the brain. The rational, the intellectual, the objective, but also the creative, the imaginative, the subjective. It has to be brought together. Because we are preaching as whole men, and we are preaching to the whole of our people, addressing them on as many levels as we can. And David says, this is what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to give my whole time and attention to what God is saying in his word. And then I'm going to bring this to my people in the best way I know and can. Now, we don't have his musical gifts, but we can indeed endeavor to do as he did. And even if we have to deal in plodding prose, nonetheless, we can labor to make God's word plain to God's people. So, O man of God, I charge you this night to hold fast the word of life, the unchanged and unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ. Demand a hearing for it here in Orlando, as you did in Los Angeles. Speak with authority as one who has been sent here by the Lord and head of the church. Preach the word in season and out, the word in all its fullness and all its depth, and only the word. Apply all your powers to the study of God's word, hearing and heeding it and applying it to your whole self as Bengal directs. Then bring the word home to your hearers, instructing their minds, reaching their hearts, probing their consciences, and leading them captive to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the faith and comfort of his gospel. Amen.